If you have your Bibles with you this evening, join me in turning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 5 together this evening. 'Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Joss Whedon is a creative and intelligent screenwriter, producer, who's become famous for films like Toy Story and The Avengers. He was recently interviewed by Entertainment Weekly. Whedon was asked if he had hope that the human race is becoming smarter and better. This is what he said. "I think we're actually becoming stupider and more petty. What's going on in this country and many countries is beyond depressing. It's terrifying. Sometimes I have to remember who I'm talking to. I'll say something about how terrible things are and meaningless, and the world is headed toward destruction and war and apocalypse. And at one point, my daughter goes, 'Hey, I'm 8. She doesn't want to hear that stuff. But I can't believe anybody thinks we're actually going to make it before we destroy the planet. I honestly think it's inevitable. I have no hope. I want to be wrong more than anything. I hate to say it. It's that line from The Lord of the Rings. I give hope to men. I keep none for myself.' I have no hope." What a statement. What a depressing perspective. However, I must confess that without the grace and mercy of the Lord in Christ, I'm pretty sure I would feel the same way. The good news is that we have hope in Christ. That's why, outside of Paul's letters to the Romans and to the Ephesians, I think 1 Peter is my favorite book in the New Testament, perhaps in the Bible. It is so hopeful. And we need to understand, Peter is writing to a people in a time when, looking from just a human perspective, he could have easily had the perspective of Josh Whedon. Man, I mean, I don't see any hope. Things are bad. It's just getting worse and worse and worse in this world. And yet, Peter's letter is full of hope. But it's not hopeful in man. It's not hopeful because of our abilities. It's hopeful because of God. And that's what we want to look at tonight from 1 Peter chapter 1. My favorite part of the book is these opening verses, really verses 3 through 9. This great exaltation of God's grace and mercy in Christ. But we're just going to focus on these three verses, verses 3, 4, and 5. And I've entitled this, "Born Again to a Living Hope." Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at this text, these three verses. Father, we thank you that while we do not look to ourselves for hope, Lord, we know that all that we can do, all that man can do, Lord, adds up to a bunch of nothing apart from you. But we are grateful, Father, that we can have hope, that we do have a living hope in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done everything necessary for us to have the past wiped out, for us to be able to live hopefully in the present and look hopefully to the future. We thank you, Lord, that you're in control, that we serve a sovereign God and a gracious and merciful and loving God. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with hope tonight. Lord, not wishful thinking, but confident expectation in you that what you've promised you are bringing to pass and will certainly fulfill. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that I want us to see, and it's right here in the verse 3, is the source of our living hope. Notice what Peter writes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So right there, Peter says, the source of our hope is not man, it's not us, it's not what we can do, it's not our inventions, it's not our technology, it's God. The source of our hope is God. And here Peter specifically focuses on two things. The motive for God providing this hope and the means of this hope. Notice first of all the motive. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. There are many attributes of God. There are those attributes that theologians call the incommunicable attributes. That means those are the attributes that only God has, like omniscience and omnipotence and eternity and those kinds of things. But there are some that he shares with us that we reflect in God. And one of those that we are to reflect is God's mercy. God is a God who Paul writes in Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5 that God is rich in mercy. And because God is rich in mercy, he has made us alive together in Christ. And again, it's not something God had to do. It's not something that we deserve. That's why it is mercy. That's the motive. Why did God do what he did? Because we're good people and we're deserving of it, right? No. Because he is merciful. That's it. We serve a God of mercy. Hang on to that. Hang on to that. Because if God was merciful to us when we were yet sinners, if God did not spare his own son but deliver him up for us all, when we were not worthy, when we were rebels, Paul writes, how much more being reconciled will he save us? So if God's merciful to rebels, what will he be to children? Sons and daughters. That's the motive. But not only do we see the motive, we see the means. The means of this living hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, here the resurrection represents all of Christ's work. But the crowning act of Christ's work, which was his resurrection from the dead, certainly it includes his incarnation, becoming one of us. Certainly includes his sinless life. And certainly it includes his atoning death. But why does Peter just mention the resurrection? Because the resurrection is what makes it all count. The resurrection is what gives us assurance that yes, this incarnate man is God in the flesh. The resurrection is what tells us that God was satisfied with the life of Christ and more importantly, the death of Christ. And so Peter says the means by which we receive this living hope, we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're reminded that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If the resurrection is real, if Jesus really rose from the dead, and we believe he did, then what we're doing here this evening makes a lot of sense. We've come to celebrate on the Lord's Day and to worship our great God and Savior who rose from the dead. But if it's not true, then what we're doing makes no sense. And we have no hope. If Jesus is not alive, if he did not rise from the dead, there is no hope. Our faith is futile. We are still in our sins. The source of our living hope is God's mercy in Christ. It is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And again, I say, if God did this for us when we were dead in sin, when we were rebels against Him, how much more will He do for us as sons and daughters whom He loves? That's hopeful. That is hopeful. You know why? Because I am still a sinner. I still fall short, not just on occasion, but multiple times, seemingly all the time. The source of my hope is not my ability to persevere. It is not my ability to obey God's commandments. It is not my ability to live a righteous and holy life, as much as that is my desire. My hope is in what God has done. It's in God's mercy. And it is in what Christ has done for us. That's the source of our living hope. Peter also addresses the significance of our living hope. He writes that we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's verse 3. Then verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Here's a true statement. If all we received in salvation was forgiveness of sins, it would be more than we could expect. Really. If all God did for us was wipe the slate clean, forgive us of all of our sins and not hold any of that against us, it would be a cause for continual praise and thanksgiving every day, every moment of every day. Just go back to Psalm 32 and read what David said about the blessedness of the man against whom the Lord does not hold his sin, the freedom that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. If that's all God did for us in salvation, in the work of Christ, it would be enough to praise Him for throughout eternity. But guess what? There's more. There is more. Peter writes, we have been born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. See, we've not only been saved from something, that is our sins and God's just wrath on our sins, we have been saved to something, to enjoy the riches of being God's children forever and ever and ever. We know that in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were promised an inheritance in the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy 15:4, for example, says, for the Lord will bless you in the land the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. That was Israel's inheritance. But guess what? It wasn't imperishable or undefiled. They're not in, well, some are in the land, but it was not at that time, a permanent possession for them. Peter shows that the inheritance that we have is far better than any earthly inheritance. Just as Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because they rust, thieves break through and steal, and moths get to them. All the earthly things that you can store up will someday perish. But not what we have in Christ. Paul writes in Romans 8, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified with Him. You see, what is God's is Christ, and what is Christ is ours. In Christ. What an inheritance. Why is this significant? Because Peter was writing to Christians who were having a tough time. Peter was writing to Christians whose lot was not the health and wealth promoted by the health and wealth and prosperity preachers. He writes about them enduring sorrows while suffering unjustly in 1 Peter 2:19. He writes about them being slandered and suffering for doing good in 1 Peter 3:16 and 17. And he writes about the fiery trial that came upon them in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. He wants them to remember that though in this world they would have tribulation, they had a living hope that resulted in an eternal inheritance. Again, as the Apostle Paul expresses in 2 Corinthians 4:17, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's the significance of our living hope. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. But then the third thing that Peter expresses here, and it's in verse 5, is the security of our living hope. See, it's one thing for this inheritance to be imperishable and undefiled and unfading. But how do I know that I'm going to get it? How do I know that I'm going to hold out? How do I know that I'm going to make it? Peter writes, who by God's power, that is referring to us, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As I've emphasized many times from the New Testament, God finishes what he starts. Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he began a good work in you, will bring it completion, to completion at the day of Christ. I am grateful that God is the one who brings it to completion by his power. You see, Peter says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you who by your perseverance are being guarded. No, by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Several weeks ago on Sunday morning, I preached from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. There, the writer encourages us Christians to run the race with endurance. It is the race of the Christian life, or as we see in Hebrews 11, the race of faith. And the call to us, which we see in Hebrews 11, well, throughout Hebrews, throughout the New Testament, is perseverance. It's to persevere. It's to keep on keeping on. I am grateful beyond my ability to express that the power for perseverance doesn't come from me. That it doesn't depend on me, rather. Because I have very little power to hold out. I have very little ability to persevere. Therefore, I depend on the Lord's power, on his ability to keep me, just as Jude expresses in Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Do we have a responsibility to persevere? Yes. Do we have a responsibility to remain faithful? Yes. But it's not up to our power. It is the Lord's power. Just as, again, Paul expresses it in Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It doesn't lead to complacency. It doesn't lead to a careless life. You know what it leads to? Hope. A living hope. That because God is the source of this hope, His mercy is the motive, the resurrection of Christ is the means. It's all of God. He's done it all. And because we have this inheritance, significance is that, yes, we're forgiven, but there's so much more that God has in store for us. The security of our hope is God. It's His power. It's His ability. And really, that's what we celebrate. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we're reminding ourselves again of what God has done for us in Christ. But not only that, what God continues to do and what He will bring to completion when we see Jesus face to face. As we celebrate tonight, we celebrate the source, the significance, and the security of our living hope in observing the Lord's Supper. And if you are a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to join us in this celebration. Let me pray. Father, we thank You tonight for our living hope. We thank You, Lord, that in a world that often is hopeless, in a world, Lord, where apart from You, it does seem like we are headed to destruction. All the foundations are being destroyed. Lord, thank You that we don't have to depend on what we see. We don't have to trust in our abilities or in anyone's intelligence or wisdom. But Lord, we trust in You. Thank You, Father, for Your work, for Your promise, for Your grace and mercy in Christ, which we celebrate even now as we partake of the supper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.